Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, welcome to the MI Ice Guys. Got Steph and I in the studio tonight. Chad and Anthony, they're off on the NAIFC circuit, wandering Western United States.
Yeah, out there. On their way headed to Montana.
Montana, going to fish out there, yeah.
Lake trout,
yes. Rainbows. Almost, yeah. Six rainbows I read on the NAIFC site today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, today we thought we'd kick the show off by just talking about where they're biting, what we've heard, and things like that. Now, if you've been keeping track on the MI Ice Guys website with the ice map, you'll see that, hey, we're getting ice all over the lakes, all over the state. Not as many people as I'd like are reporting, but hey, we're getting some reports in there, so there's some good information out there. Now, I was talking to my good buddy Big John Stitka this morning, and John said that he got some real nice perch over there at Reed's Lake yesterday.
Nice.
And it was either yesterday or day before yesterday, and they had a good time out there. He said he got a few of them, and then after the sun came up pretty hard, they kind of shut down. He was out there real early. Talked to a couple other old-timers out there and said you got to be there just in the tweening hours of the morning if you're going to get into anything over there at Reed's Lake on the perch beds right now. And I think that's got to do with the moon phase. The moon phase probably has them biting a little earlier than normal. So if you are one of those fortunate guys to be retired, work second or third shift or whatever, to where you're able to get out there at, you know, 7 a.m. or 6:30 or whatever, you got a pretty good shot at some perch over there. And I hear they're just over on the side there, I guess a little bit more towards Roses down the way. So what have you been hearing, Steph?
I've been hearing good reports from Cadillac up from Lake Mitchell and such.
They starting to get some size up there?
Yeah, pretty good. Nice crappies back there on out from the Boy Scout camp.
Yep.
So that's been pretty productive and great solid ice. They're running quads up there right now.
Yeah, I know on real thin ice earlier, I got into some decent crappies up there. And I was just a little bit back here, back towards the road from the Boy Scout camp. So
the Haymarsh ought to be locked up pretty good now again.
Yep.
And they should be back on there. So that's a good one for pike, for setting tip-ups and such. Is a real good pike lake.
Yeah.
No size limit there if you like little pike. But
yep. Trufin ought to be locked in good.
Oh, yeah, we should see a lot of more locked in here moving south on the ice map.
Yeah, and if you've got a, you know, if you've got a little old lady friend there, you know, somebody's grandma or something might need their driveway shoveled, boy, oh, boy, that'll get you a parking spot on one of those little lakes, you know, because a lot of those old ladies got a cabin up there. And
hey, offer them a bag of fillets.
Bag of fillets.
That gets you a lot further.
Yeah. Shovel a driveway. Yeah. You know, guys.
Fresh fish. Oh, yeah.
We're going to work a deal with my mom. She's going to do a little embroidery for us, and we're going to pay her off in fish, I hope.
We'll hook her up.
Yeah. But, well, I went and did an interesting experiment yesterday. I was all ready to go out to Reed's because you had stuff going on in the afternoon, and I wasn't getting up that early. I was out chasing girls on Saturday night. So I decided I was going to go over to one of my buddies' gravel pit spots. You know, it's one of these old gravel pits that they put $400,000 homes around. And now they call it a lake. Well, somebody went out and stocked the thing because I was able to get into some great gills. Now, my experiment is because everybody keeps hounding on me, you got to use meat to get the gills. I said, I'm going to figure out the plastics. It only took me 3 iterations and I figured out exactly which plastic to get into. And it was a little white grub, real tiny thin thing. And I put it on a real tiny little Scandia Lumer, one of those glow size. I didn't need the glow, but all I had in the number 16s was a glow.
Yep.
In my bag. So that's often what I went to. And, you know, just jigging it in and out of the top of the weed bed, boom, and they're hitting. They were hitting good.
Oh, yeah, I'd be surprised with the gills that'll suck down plastic. So I'll tag gills when I'm fishing for crappies and such. And it's amazing that even a non-keeper bluegill can inhale that big of a lure and you still catch them and you get some nice size gills out of it as well.
Yeah. So I got into, I think I got 19 of those yesterday, and my friend that let me park in his driveway, there at his big fancy house, we just went in his garage, cleaned him up real quick, and I gave him the fillets, and him and his wife were just happy as could be about getting those. So it was a real good experiment. So you guys ought to think about trying to get out there and doing a little experimenting. Not always just going back to your same old crutch. Get out there and play a little bit when you're not, you know, it's not like I'm starving or wasting away to nothing. If you've seen the pictures on the website, you'll know that. But I wanted to try it out and figure out how to do bluegill on plastic reliably. And so I found something that really worked.
Yeah, and each lake's going to be different to know what plastic's working the best.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to try my theory over on reeds if we get out there next week. I was hoping to go tomorrow, but it looks like I got to do work all day.
Yeah, same here. I'll be working late.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the beginning of the show there, you mentioned about the bite times and such.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that Angler magazine has a great chart in there when the bite is on for fish. So,
yep,
based on a moon phase and such. And we had some Ice Guys comments out there on our emails on, hey, the fish were a tough bite this weekend. And it's like, yeah, when you get a high pressure moving through and bluebird skies and sunny out, it can put a tough bite on them sometimes.
Bluebird skies. You sound like Joppy now. But, yeah, I found a fish time app that'll give you those on your phone. And that was on Android. You can probably find one on the Apple for free just to check that out. And Angler Magazine, if you haven't picked that up in your area bait shop, we're talking about the West Michigan edition because, you know, we're based here in Grand Rapids. So you can pick them up at Al and Bob's. We got them here at Schmoe's. And read the articles that are in there. There's some good area articles about how the fish bite is. I actually write one of the articles. And get some information about that. Now, another cool app that I found, and I actually found this when we were up at deer camp, is a barometer app. Now, it pulls the barometric pressure off the internet because our cell phones don't have a barometer in them.
Or temperature.
They'll probably have it soon, but they don't.
Right. Eventually.
Now. And that can give you an idea when those fronts are coming through and actually when they physically come through your area. The app I found actually had an alarm on it. So when there's a change of so much over a certain time, it'll alert you. And it's like, I guess if you're hunting and fishing, that's important. The rest of the world, I don't know if they really care.
No. In the fishing world here, we're discussing, the fish like a barometer moving. Whether it's going up or going down, they're going to be on the feed typically. But when it's steady and high, they can be a tough bite.
So if you're sitting out there under bluebird skies and you see that cloud front approaching, don't run away. Don't run away. Zip up your suit and get fishing because that's probably going to cause them to get active. And they'll start moving around and hitting a little more. Now, you heard anybody else hitting anywhere else? I heard some early reports off Gun Lake that some of the guys were getting there.
Yeah, and channels and such.
Yeah. I heard the guys on Gull were getting wet. But in the overnights, when it's a little colder, there were guys actually getting on smelt. We've got to try that smelt.
We got to go for that.
Yeah, I love smelt, and I want to try that through the ice.
I haven't had a good mess of smelt since I lived in the UP, and we dipped them ourselves.
Man, when I lived in the UP up at Tech, man, we dipped a lot of smelt. So it was a really great thing. Now, area lakes around, I've been reading on Facebook, and guys have been sending me emails that there's a lot of activity out there. The guys are on Wabas. I've heard that they're fishing on blue. Pat Bloom told me that they're on blue. So I think that there's plenty of ice out there. You might have to do a little looking around. If you got somebody on a lake that can tell you what's going on, go for that. And when you guys do find ice, let the rest of the world know. MIIceGuys.com has our ice map database that you can submit. You just select the county, then select the name of the lake. And we've added a new function this year where, as administrators, we're able to add a lake. So like my buddy's gravel pit, we're going to add that in there as a named lake so that we'll be able to see those things on there. USGA hasn't given it a name yet, but hey, it's on the plat map. The city or the developer or whoever gave it a name, we're going to share that with you guys as well. And it's going to tell you even in an area that there's good ice in that area.
Yep.
Not necessarily that body of water, but you know, maybe you got access down the way to it.
To a lake nearby.
Yep. So guys, make sure that you get on the website, check out the ice thicknesses, add a thickness when you can find one. And still be a little bit careful as you're going out there. You know, lead out with your spud or, like I do, drill a hole pretty often because, you know, with our drills, you know, we just got a cordless drill. We can zip a hole real quick and take a look at it before you get way overcommitted and end up wet.
Yeah, these next couple of nights were supposed to be sub-zero, like -6 tomorrow morning. And the following day in the negatives. So we are going to make some good ice here the next couple of days. So we should really be shoring up a lot of good ice here.
Yep.
This week.
But I would still be very careful with the quads, especially down here around Grand Rapids. Otherwise, you know, the DNR will charge you hard. So, MIIceguys.com, we're going to come right back after a short little break. And I think we're going to talk some stories about our practice out at Worlds. So, MIIceguys.com, we'll be right back. It's Chaz and Steph in the studio.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. My choice is Schmoes. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Cheese, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
We're back in the studio, Chaz and Steph, had a sip of beer, back from our short little intermission there. And what we thought we'd tell you about now is a little bit about USA Ice Team.
Our practice in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Steph and I made the journey over there with Chad and Anthony. We picked up our friend Kelly Gotch in the middle of a blizzard.
Took an escort across the bridge.
Oh, yeah. We were escorted across the bridge into the UP. Because we were headed to Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Now, if you guys haven't been to Rhinelander, Wisconsin, there's no straight roads that go there.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was wolf paths or moose paths or something, or Indian trails that they made all the roads from, because they just are not straight over there.
Left, right, left, right.
Names you couldn't pronounce of roads, and then when you could pronounce them, they were just a letter.
It was a letter.
Or a number.
Road G.
Road G went to Highway 8.
And we were on Highway 8. Four different times.
Yeah, and Highway 8 is not... Get out a map and look at Highway 8. It is not straight.
It must make a U or something.
So we traveled out there on New Year's Day and had a meeting with the team. Our coach and captains got together. Mike McNett's our captain. He had a lot to tell us about with things that are going on with our sponsors. You know, we're going to Finland, and that ain't cheap. And we've all had to make some financial commitments as well as a lot of time commitments to getting into this, to go over there and make sure that we can show that the USA does have some of the greatest ice fishermen in the world. Now, being MI Ice Guys, we're pretty proud of the fact that six of the people going out of 12 or 13 that are going from the U.S. are from Michigan.
Yep.
And even furthermore, four of them are your MI Ice Guys. Right here based out of the Grand Rapids area. So that's going to be a big deal, and we're going to try and do some more things around here. One of the things we decided we're going to do is rather than going to Wisconsin to practice all the time, we're going to have a couple of come out and fish with the MI Ice Guys, and we want you guys to be our opponents. Now, the way we're going to do some of these things, we're going to have to follow world rules. You guys don't have to follow them all.
They can use their power augers and electronics.
But we are going to make you stay in the same zone as us.
Yeah.
And we probably going to influence you with our rule of 5 meters.
Yeah, for practice, definitely.
It's at 16.3 feet. 0.3
feet,
as our good friend Myron Gilbert kept reminding us. So for those of you out there that know Myron, you'll know that his early career as a carpenter and, you know, general farm jockey, he knows his distances, and he likes to quote them to us quite often. So in the Worlds, you have to stay 5 meters from any other fisherman. Now, as we've discussed a number of times between us and the team, it really becomes a chess game.
Yeah.
Because you can block somebody. And, you know, we're serving as spotter tacticians, Steph and I are. What that means is that it's our job to keep an eye on not only our angler, but everybody else too, and find out what's going on.
Yeah, you'll have 15 other fish countries fishing a zone, and you're going to want to know who's on fish, who's not on fish, where to move your angler to position them in the best fish-catching zone
and if you can,
of that zone.
And if you can see even what they're using for a lure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a real critical thing. And a lot of people, when I explain it to them, they're like, well, what does this spotter tactician do? Well, we're the spy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to keep our guy focused on catching fish in his hole and not paying attention to what everybody else is doing. So we had a lot of instruction, team building exercises and drills when we were in Rhinelander.
Yeah.
And Coach Gaber, he was hard on us about that. He wanted us communicating our angler, moving our guy. In a sense, we get to kind of be the boss of them because we know what's going on around them when they really don't.
Yeah, reading the lake structure, bottom maps, positioning our guys without them seeing the map.
Yeah, we had that exercise. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, telling them where to go and directing them where to fish and putting them on fish. And then playing the chess game of when you're in a world competition, you're allowed two flags. So each flag, you want a position. You got to drill a hole, place your flag, drill your hole, and then you got that 5-meter rule.
So there's a 5-meter radius all the way around the flag.
Yep.
That nobody can come within. Well, if you bring into play the boundaries of the zone as well, you can position
block a corner.
Lock a corner up. You can lock a whole area around them. Maybe you found a piece of structure or a dip or something.
A log.
A little
whatever.
Depression.
Something that's holding fish.
And playing the game of getting that around it. So we were learning a lot about that. We were learning how to communicate and tell our guys what they needed to know. And, keeping them apprised of the situation while they could stay head down, focused on their little bitty palm rods.
They can concentrate on fishing because they can't be looking at somebody else to see what they're doing. They'll miss a bite. They got to be strictly focused on catching their fish, and you're letting them know who's catching more, if they're catching one every 30 seconds, one every minute, what size they're catching, and then they can compare it with what they're doing, and you can determine whether or not to move them or not.
And then as partners, you can decide what the next move is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of fun with that and getting some good team building exercises in. We had a little fundraiser out there for the team. We got to announce a new sponsor out there of the team.
Yeah.
Stormy Cromer.
Stormy Cromers.
And the folks from Stormy Cromer came over from Iron Mountain, Ironwood, Iron Mountain, somewhere over there. I'd have to look it up to see exactly which one it was. They made us custom red, white, and blue hats that we're going to be wearing in competition with the USA Ice Team logo on the side. So if you haven't seen that on Facebook, you'll want to take a quick look at that and see that those are really pretty cool hats that they got us.
Yeah, Stormy Cromers are cool to begin with. So.
Oh, Cromers are way cool.
Actually, they're warm. But
they're really, yeah, they're awesome.
You know, made out of wool and the cotton lining, they're fantastic.
Yeah, and we got to hear a little bit from the story of that and meet the people. It was a really great experience. We also learned some other northern Wisconsin traditions, like paddle wheel. Yeah. That was still a confusing game, but I want a new set of Cthulhas out of the deal.
There you go. That's all that matters.
But we had a really great time out there. We get to fish some cribs. We fish some known zones, some unknown zones.
Yeah, one of the drills we had was we had markers set up on 4 cribs, and the contestants, the ice fishermen there, they had to catch one fish per crib, and whoever caught one in each crib the fastest would win that little heat. So it was a good competition between the guys. And then us as spotters had to pay attention who caught what fish where, so you could direct your angler to, hey, use that hole, because that's where he caught the fish out of.
Yeah,
so
because we all didn't start on the same crib.
Exactly, yeah.
So that was a strategy game, and that was one that Anthony and I played. By going to the far end and working a backwards direction of what most of the teams did. And by doing that, I was able to observe what they're all doing. And it did leave Anthony kind of on his own for the first one, but he didn't seem to have trouble with that.
Nah, paid off, though.
Yeah. We won that first heat, and I think the fourth heat.
Yep.
Third or fourth heat. I don't know. Michigan boys were very dominant in these exercises. So
and they should be, because...
Yeah, you know, it's the Great Lakes State. Mm-hmm. We got to have our pride in all that stuff. But we had a great time. We had some great meals over there. Got to hang out with a lot of great anglers, meet a lot of cool people, and we're really looking forward to it. Now, coming up, we've made the announcement that in February, I think it's the 22nd, and we'll publish this out on our website and on Facebook, we're going to have a training day, which we're going to be very focused on our world rules, but we're going to invite all of you guys to come out, hang out, fish with us and stuff like that. We might even see, we'll figure out whether we're going to eat somewhere close around there afterwards or a bar or something. We'll figure something out like that. But we want to make it a great experience where you can get out on the ice with us, ask us all the questions you want after we're done, but get to watch us doing some of that stuff. Now, if you guys have never firsthand watched somebody operate one of these palm rods. That's pretty cool. I mean, Steph, describe for them the method of catching a fish on a palm rod.
Well, catching a fish on a palm rod, first of all, let's take a look at the palm rod. The palm rod is probably 8 to 11 inches long. It's got a X-ray film bobber on it for very high bite sensitivity.
Spring bobber, yeah.
It's basically a spring bobber, but it uses, you know, Mylar, or a lot of the guys, like I said, they use X-ray film. You can buy different ones.
I saw McNett was making it out of floppy disks.
Yeah, the guys were tearing apart 3.5-inch floppies and cutting the material out of those and making their bobbers. So they're very finesse bobbers, so you can detect that if a fish breathes on that lure, you're going to see a reaction on the bobber. And so what the guys do is the palm rods are just designed to hold line. So when you catch a fish, you're hand lining it up. So you might, once you hook a fish, you're going to pull it up, you know, a couple of links, and then you're going to throw the rod.
It's kind of like a windmill procedure.
Yeah, that's Chad uses the windmill. He windmills it twice, then does a toss, which throws the rod out away from the hole, and then you're picking up your line to grab that fish, unhook it, and get that line right back down the hole as fast as you can.
So by throwing the rod, really what he's doing is trying to
straighten the line out
so it doesn't get tangled. Now, when we got up there and every evening in the cabin, because we were all staying in one cabin, it was like de-knot, you know, untie the messes and de-snarl everything that got snarled up during the heat of competition and re-rig these things, retie some lines and everything to get everything straight. And we were looking at the size of the line that these guys were using.
Well, some of it's like 8-ounce line, half a pound.
Half a pound.
It is thin, and it is clear.
I don't even know how, you know, unless you're sitting there hovering over the hole, these guys fish on their knees, crouched down there by the hole. You don't even see that line. From a distance, you can't even tell.
Yeah, and then one of our competitors, Bob Espenson, uses that wrap rod. And that wrap rod, you're not going to see a big hook set. You're not going to see a lot of action going on when somebody catches a fish, because it's all right there. You're not going to see the windmill and the throw. He's wrapping that line up around his wrap rod, taking his fish off, throwing in his pouch, and then right back down the hole.
For those of you on Facebook,
that video you posted was fantastic.
You
can't even see the guy throw it in his pouch. He's so quick. If even watching it in front of him, if you're not right on it, you will miss it.
For those of you on Facebook, if you go to either miiceguys.com or, well, MI Ice Guys on Facebook, or to USA Ice Team on Facebook. Search those out. You'll see some videos of the guys using the palm rods. You'll see our buddy Bob from Illinois. He's using that wrap rod. And one of the things about the wrap rod that really got me is that because you're wrapping off a pin that's on the tip and one on the tail, the spring bobber is actually inside and pointing
inside
backwards.
It. Yeah.
I'm like, what? This is craziness. But Bob has learned this. Not a lot of our other guys utilize that. I know we've all talked about it. I'm going to get one when we're in Finland just to screw with.
Same here.
Even if I just make big knotted messes with it, I want to own one of those things.
And do you post the finish of that, the Finnish guy that's using one, the Swede or the...
Oh, I haven't posted that yet. I'll have to dig that up and post
that. I've seen it out there, and it's amazing watching him with that wrap rod as fast as he can go up and down a hole. I'm like... And it's so deceiving. If you're not looking right directly at them, you're going to miss it. So we need to have our spotters on both sides of the zones to keep an eye on those guys with the wrap rods.
Now, one of the other things that we learned when we were up there talking with all these guys, out at the NAIFC championships, which were held a couple of weeks prior, just the weekend before Christmas, out there in Minnesota, they, all kinds of guys were using palm rods.
Because it was a real finesse bite for those crappies out there. The big crappies wanted it slow, and they were just barely lipping it in. They weren't inhaling it.
So for those of you guys saying, oh, I'm good with my old...
Or you're missing hook sets.
...stuff, and you're missing hook sets and stuff like that, maybe you need to look at these palm rods. Now, the problem you're going to find is unless you buy them on the internet, I don't think anybody domestically is selling them. They're pretty much shipping them in from Europe.
Rare. Your Bobbers has some, but...
We're going to be talking to a couple of our buddies that are in the business about maybe getting into these things a little bit. They are cool, and it's just another tool to put in your arsenal.
Yeah, some of these guys will go out with, you know, 25, 30 of these rods all rigged up and ready to go on the tournament.
Yeah, they have these lures. Fabric buckets rather than the big buckets that, you know, you've seen our hopper buckets. rather than having that, the guys on the palm rods, they're this little fabric bucket that's it's like actually a tool pouch.
It's kind of like a tool pouch, yeah. For
all the way around it, they've got little pockets. Now, there's Chad. He just has his secret pocket off to one side and his fish pouch off the other side. But Chad's just an anomaly. But they put a rod in each one of these little holes. And that rod is pre-rigged with its own spring bobber, its own lure tied to it and everything. They are using live bait. Well, except for Myron. His is dead and frozen. Mm-hmm. But it is real meat.
Yeah, not allowed to use plastic in Worlds.
No plastic in Worlds.
Yep.
So these guys are baiting a hook, but quite often these things are 2 millimeter, even 1 millimeter jigs.
Well, now when Chad was fishing, he was pretty much using half a spike or biting half of it off.
Yeah, I was wondering if he was eating those because he wasn't really look that hungry at lunch.
No, I'm sure he was eating a few. Yeah.
But idea is you're not tying knots out there. If you have a break off.
Grab another rod.
You throw that rod in the bucket and you get another one because we're in a timed fish.
A lot of the guys will have 3 rods tied up with the same jig. So if they got one that's particularly hot, they can stick with it.
Yeah, there was quite a science to them, and watching them tie these things, it was impressive. A lot of these were hole in the head jigs that we've talked about in the past where they don't have an eyelet, but they just have a hole drilled through them. Steph brought up a great point when we were rigging rods one of the evenings that he has these little dental files that you can use and clean out a hole rather than, a lot of times you guys know when you buy a jig, the eyelet's painted over.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. That thing is just tiny. So with that little file, you're able to clean it out. And I'll confess, I got right on the internet and bought a set. So I will be prepared with my angler when we get to Finland. With some tools to help out.
Yeah, we'll get them rigged and ready to go for competition, that's for sure.
But, yeah, it was 2 days of intense fishing. The first day when we stepped on the ice, it was 12 below zero actual. My team suit had not come in yet, so I was boasting that I had the big super polar fire thick suit. By halfway through, I'm roasting to death. So dressing for the occasion, I may have overdressed for the activity that we're doing. And if you get out there on Facebook and even on our site, you'll see some links to those videos where we actually posted, some stuff Kelly put together on day one heat. And it shows Coach telling us what we're doing for the exercise. And then the guys actually out and performing it and some little interviews with the guys of after they were done, how it went and what the strategy was with that. So we're going to take another break because I can see Steph's eyes. He's ready for a little more beer. And we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about maybe some upcoming tournaments and things that are going on and what else is going on in West Michigan ice. We're the MI Ice Guys. Make sure to check us out. Check out our ice map. Send us a picture and, even ask an ice guy a question. There's a section on the website just for that. And I did do a little work and updated the bios just a little bit on there. And some new pictures. So it's fresh stuff on MIIceGuys.com.
Hey, remember to stop on out to MIIceGuys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at MIIceGuys.com.
Guys, we're back. We've been drinking a little beer, doing a little bit of a sideline research here, because it's time to talk tournaments. There's a lot of tournaments around. There gets to be more and more, and it just seems that every time you get involved or meet a new person, they're going to tell you about a new tournament.
Yeah.
And probably one of the first things that we ought to talk about is what's coming up with the NAIFC. Our boys, Anthony and Chad, decided to team up, and they went out and they fished Metagushi. Took a big haul, and if you get on MIIceGuys.com or on our Facebook, you'll see this really cool interview that some local TV station out there did with Anthony, where he proclaimed that he was ruined for life.
Yeah,
on bluegills.
He'll never catch that big a gill again.
These things were the size of a fry pan. They were huge.
They were huge, 10-inchers, man. Awesome.
Yeah, and then this coming weekend on Sunday, they're going to be at Hebegan Lake in Montana. And then I think Anthony's headed back for something. And Chad's fishing with somebody else on the 25th at Mitchell Lake in South Dakota. I think that's the way it works. I'm not sure.
They're headed back. They're going to fish Mitchell together.
Oh, they're fishing Mitchell together?
Yeah. And then Chad's headed back to pick up Jake. And then him and Jake are going to fish Chisago.
Oh, they're fishing Chisago. Yeah. All right. And Chicago, Minnesota is on the 1st of February. Now, we were also talking that Croton is coming, and Croton is going to be on the 8th of February. Now, Croton Dam, just right up there by Steph and Chad's house. Anthony lives up that way, too. I frequent the area quite often. That's going to be a big deal here in Michigan. I think Steph's fishing with his brother for that one. So that'll be kind of cool, a family thing. But also on February 1st, we want to mention that the Midwest Open, sponsored by Knutson's, is going to be on that weekend. Now, that one is, you've got to qualify to get into that.
Register as soon as it opens.
It's just extremely hard to get into that one.
Because it fills up so quick. And then,
but they have a $20,000 prize on that. So it is a big deal for them. And so we wanted to make sure that people knew about that. Yeah. Now, also on January 25th, the Frostbite Series. We talked about the Frostbite Series before. They had last weekend on the 11th, they went to Jordan Lake. And the Niffin boys, they won that one. Bodeckers came in second. That was kind of cool. Janice was posting some pictures about that.
Awesome.
Jabbing at the Niffins about how they let them win. But on January 25th, they're going to be out at Sessions. If you want a really nice little walking tournament, not a super pressure, you know, this is not the NAFC where the guys are sitting there revving their engines on their quads and snowmobiles to go racing out. This is a very relaxed pace. It's a good way to get started into them. Mm-hmm. Very simple. I believe they're 8 bluegill, 8 crappie.
Yeah.
And gonna, you know, it's team with the most weight wins. That's ice fishing.
Bottom line.
They also do the side bet deal for big fish.
Critter, yeah.
Big critter. Yep. Yeah. We saw last year at Reed's Lake, they brought through a catfish that was a big slimy monster. How they got that, I don't know.
It was like an 8-pound catfish or something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or 13 pounds.
Kicked everybody's butt on big fish. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on with that. Now, the Croton on the 8th there, also the Frostbite guys, they're talking about moving the Reed's Lake one, so stay tuned to their MIFrostbiteseries.com and their website to make sure that you know when that is if you're going to be participating in the Frostbite Series. Be a lot of cool things. And then comes Valentine's Day weekend.
Lots going on.
Oh, my. Where do you want to start?
Well, we can start with the free fishing weekend.
The DNR says no license that weekend.
Hey, get out there and hit all the lakes. Take your kids. Take your wife. Take everybody.
Take the wife. It's Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Come on, honey. Let's set in the shanty.
If you
take the girlfriend, don't tell the wife.
Yeah, if you want to, take them up to the Dam to Dam contest that LAV's doing up there on Croton and Hardy. It's a big party, really. So that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. A couple of my buddies are always involved in that one. And our good buddy, Tony Gates, he's a big outdoorsman and loves to participate in that one. And, you know, we just went through the net, and there's a huge other of them. Turk Lake's got to be somewhere in there. If somebody knows Turk Lake, send us a line. And tell us, because I can't find Turk Lake information. But also on the 8th is the Blue Lake tournament up by your dad's house.
Yeah, weekend after Super Bowl. So yep. That's always a fun one. That's a three-day contest there. People can register for, you know, the biggest pike, bluegill, perch, crappie. It's fantastic. And walleye.
Yeah.
And you can get into those side pots. And they get pretty... You know, a couple $100, $300, you know, depending on how many people register. But it's a great time out there. It's a big party on the ice out there on the Land of Lakes Association there puts it on. So you got Little Musk Lounge, Maston Lake, Blue Lake. You got
Black,
Little Lincoln Lake, Blue.
It's a big chain of lakes up there.
Yeah.
And it's up in northeast Kent County, so it's not a bad drive.
Fantastic fishery.
Now, Steph and I were making up our minds about what we're going to do. And it sounds like the 24th and 25th, that should be a Saturday and Sunday. We're going to commit to being out on Reed's Lake. And we're going to call this our MI Ice Guys Invitational. It's not a tournament. It's a day that we're going to be on the ice, and we're going to tell you where we are. So you can come out and fish with us, hang with us, talk with us, ask questions, you know, come out, do that. If my friend Jason Jablonski is listening, I'm going to invite him to come out and bring out his ski spinners. He is making some lures over there in Zealand, and he's going to bring those. I think Jack's going to come up from K&E and be out on the ice. If he can't make it himself, he'll send one of the guys along to participate with us, and we'll have maybe some giveaways for crazy stuff, like the most creative MacGyvered up solution to something. We love to see those. You know, that's the kind of nerds that we are. We may even do a little bit of world practice that day, kind of spotting around. Maybe we'll dig out our palm rods, do a little palm rod demoing and stuff. Be nice to catch a big old crappie on a palm rod in front of everybody. That'd be fun.
We'll have some palm rods for people to try out, and we can show them techniques and the different plastics and stuff we use. It's one thing to hear us talk about them, but to get out there and show them one-on-one and
show another them thing that we can do is if you're having trouble with your flasher, you can come on out. We'll sit down with you and just talk you through it.
Help you understand it.
Talk you through catching it. Make sure you're tuning it right. If you're just having a fit with it. Now, if you're not, great. Just get out there and fish with us. We're going to get out there, get on our crappie hole. We may go over to the, at some point, go over to the perch beds. We may wander over to where the bluegills are. We're going to be all over. Now, we park at the fire barn in East Grand Rapids and walk out from there, but you can park all along the side of the lake there from Roses on down to the fire barn.
Mm-hmm.
There's various places to park around there and walk on out, and you see two big guys out there, and that's us. We'll either have our white ace camo on.
Or a big yellow tent.
Or a big yellow tent or something. We may have our USA ice team jackets on. We're just going to see what the weather is. If we're going to be sitting still, we'll probably have the polar fire on. But come on out and find us. We will put up our banner out there so that people can find us. Want to invite everybody to come out and fish and hang with us. Now, also, Anthony called a Michigan team practice for the USA ice team on the 22nd of February. And that's going to be somewhere up there around his house, Cedar Springs area. Not sure what lake he's picked yet. He hasn't let us in on the loop on that. He did tell us what day it is. So set that aside on your calendars if you'd like to come out and do a little fishing against us. I know our good buddy Corey from MLive, he wants to come out and fish with us. I think he just needs to learn how to catch some fish.
Yeah, we want some competition to come out and challenge the two world competitors there for the U.S.
Yeah, we've got two of the guys. Maybe Myron will even come up. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Myron just pops in places. You never know what he's going to do. And we're going to get out there, and we're going to make our guys fish by the world rules. We're not going to make you do that. What we're going to do is we're going to set up a little zone. And in our little zone, we're going to ask everybody to fish within that zone for an hour or something like that. But we're going to let you use flashers and whatever you want. We're going to probably, you know, say let's not get up too many shanties or anything like that, because we want you to see what's going on with that stuff, unless it's absolutely nasty, and then what the heck, we'll do anything we want. But the idea is to put a little fishing pressure on our guys to get them ready to go to Finland. We also got some big news on the event site that the ice is forming fast over there. It's locked up on one of the competition lakes. And they said last week it was at 20 centimeters. For all you math whizzes, you know, that's not much. But we're getting there. So we're going to be seeing a lot more reports of Kuopio, Finland, and what they have for ice. And we're going to try and keep that up to date as much as possible out on MI Ice Guys Facebook page. I think we'll do that one. Unless somebody finds me a good resource to embed into the website. But, hey, when we come back, we're going to wrap up with just a little bit of adventurous stuff. And I think we're going to talk a couple of new recipes that we've been brainstorming on.
Yeah.
And wrap this baby up and head for the bar. So we're the MIS guys, podcasting on hard water in the Great Lakes State and soon around the world.
Yes.
We will broadcast from Finland. You know that.
Count on.
Hey, guys. You got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MI Ice Guys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Guys, we're back for the final segment of the episode tonight. And Steph and I got a fresh beer. And what we thought we'd wrap the show up with tonight is a little bit talk about recipes. Now, everybody knows how to fry fish. And you can go for 7 days talking about your fry batter. You know, like I prefer dry. Steph makes beer batter.
Yeah.
We both, you know, it's great fish. We both eat each other's fish. It's wonderful stuff. The guys with the dry batter, you know, you get the guys that argue Drake's, make your own, Reds, Tony's, all kinds of stuff Andy's. That you put in. Andy's.
Yeah. And Zatarain's.
Zatarain's, yeah. Can't forget Zatarain's. A lot of good dries.
Drake's, like the covered Drake's.
And then, you know, the wet batters. And you get into the wet batters and deciding, well, are you going to cornstarch it before you egg wash it or and then dry it? Or what are you going to do? Are you just going to mix up a big old sloppy wet mix and do that? And
you can even use the cornbread.
Cornmeal, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cornmeal. I mean, my throw together here around the brewery is all-purpose flour, cornmeal, and some of that garlic pepper.
Like a 50-50 mix?
I go 60-40, a little more flour than cornmeal, because otherwise they get a little too grainy.
Yeah.
But it gives it some nice texture on it. And that's just a dry mix that I whip up in a Ziploc bag. I drop my fillets in, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah. Now, your traditional beer batter is, it's pretty much a 50-50. 50% flour, 50% beer gives you that right texture. But if you want a lighter coating, you mix it, you know, like a...
little more beer.
Just a little more beer. Thin it out a little bit so it doesn't stick as much. And you're good.
Yep.
And you can also throw the cornmeal in there as well. Mix it with the flour, and it's going to give you a lighter, fluffier batter and crispier.
Yeah.
So.
And there's guys that do the cornmeal or the cornstarch first, and then they do the egg wash, and then they hit it to their dry. There's all kinds of ways to fry. But what I wanted to really talk about was putting a little twist on that. Now, some of the guys, you know, their wives especially, are a little opposed to the deep fry method. Number one, it can odor up your house.
Yes.
So if the old lady won't let you, you know, grease up the house and all that kind of stuff, there's some alternatives out there. And one I came across this week was dipping the fillets in ranch dressing, then putting them in the dry batter, then putting them on, you know, that little grate that you put cookies on to, to dry it?
For cooling.
Yeah. For cooling, you put that on over a sheet pan in the oven, and you pop it in the oven, and you bake them. And you got to be real careful you don't bake them too long because, you know, you can overdo fish.
Fish cooks very quickly.
But that ranch dressing made quite the impression in there. That was really interesting. And now I want to try it with some other things like the garlic ranch and the peppercorn ranch and the cheesy Parmesan ranch.
French.
And things like that. I want to mess with it and play with it and stuff. So baking the fish, and however you batter them, you want to probably put something with a little bit, you know, even just buttermilk. Something with a little bit of richness and fat around there to kind of hold the breading together. And bing, bing, you got something really good. It's going to keep that fish moist while you got it in the big old dry box oven there. You're not getting the quick seal like you do with the deep fry. But you can still do it, and it's not as oily and stuff, and so it won't stink up the house so bad and things like that. And you, on the shelf below it, you can put your fries and oven bake your fries, too. Or tater tots. I love tater tots.
Yeah, and you can't forget broil.
Yep, you can broil.
Broil fish is fantastic, especially for pan fish on a nonstick pan or a cookie sheet.
Yep, and that's just put some dry seasoning on them.
Yeah.
And let them set for about 15 minutes. With that dry seasoning on them so that they get the fish's moisture will rehydrate that seasoning and wake it up. Mm-hmm. And right there, you're just counting on, that's probably, I don't know, maybe we'd call that low-cal fish.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're not adding any oils or anything to add calories to it, so it's very good.
Now, I was talking with a bunch of guys online this week about fish chowders.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef Dewey and I have decided that next week we're going to find a day that we can make fish chowder. And we're going to experiment and come up with a recipe for panfish chowder. And the real gist of it, I think what's going to be is to make a cream chowder. I'm going to cook the potatoes separate. I'm going to dice up some potatoes and cook those separate. And I'm going to make a cream chowder. And then I'm going to pour the potatoes in. And then I'm going to pour the fillets in raw. Right at the end, and give them just one quick stir.
Yeah,
turn the heat off.
It's like throwing shrimp into a gumbo.
Yeah,
you right stir at the shrimp end. In at the end. Yep.
Yep.
You don't want to overcook them.
Yeah, they don't want to be overcooked, and you don't want to overstir it. Otherwise, you'll break the fish up a lot, and you won't get any nice chunks of fish in your chowder.
It's like doing a salmon boil or something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But we're going to come up with a good recipe for that, and we'll post that online once we come up with that one.
And with the angel hair pasta that you told me about, angel hair pasta cooks in 4 minutes in boiling water. Boom.
I've done it with angel hair. I've done it with bow tie. Now, to bring you guys back up to speed, what I'm talking about is just Italian dressing. Poor man's steak seasoning, as I like to call it. I take and I drain my fillets. You know, you're pulling them out of the freezer. They're frozen. I love doing this outdoors in the summer. You have a little bit of boiled up pasta off to the side there, ready to go. In a nonstick skillet, I take after I've, well, to start back, let me roll back. Sorry, guys. Drain my fillets, and I fill the Ziploc bag right back up with Italian dressing. Now, there's a lot of seasonings and flavor and stuff in there. So that all mixes right in with the fish and juggle them around a little bit so they all get coated and good. And leave that for an afternoon or whatever. Then you pull those fillets out individually and lay them in that nonstick skillet and just softly saute them. Do not burn them. Don't get rough with them. And when it looks like the outside edges, you know, start to turn a little bit more opaque and white, such, and the outside edges are getting a little more done, and it's time to flip them over. As soon as you flip them over, and you're going to have to do this really careful, then you add that pasta in. Now, you got the pasta. It's got a little water on it. The water's going to emulsify with the oil and boom, 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 and the fats that are in there and everything, and it's going to make like a creamy sauce. You can throw a little Parmesan in there if you want, or wait and put the Parmesan on as a garnish. But boy, oh boy, does that make some really good stuff. And, you know, it isn't but a few seconds after you roll them over and put that hot pasta in on top of them and give it a quick stir. Some of the fillets will start to break up a little bit, but then plate it.
Yeah, I plated my angel hair pasta, and then I took the crappie fillets that I seasoned with some minced garlic and seasoning in there, and a little bit of butter to make like a little sauce, and then dump that over top of the angel hair pasta.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
That'd be awesome.
And then a little Parmesan cheese.
A little Parmesan.
Fresh grated Parmesan cheese.
Yeah. Maybe a little red pepper flake in there, just a bam.
Yep. Fresh ground pepper. That was good.
Yeah. So, guys, what the point is of this whole conversation, and I'm looking at the clock, and we've gone pretty exuberant, but you get two big guys talking about eating, it is going to be a conversation.
Oh, two hungry big guys.
Yeah, we got to go find something to eat tonight. But anyway, the idea is don't think you're stuck into just deep frying.
Or pan frying.
Or pan frying or whatever. You don't have to fry every fish. You can do a lot of cool things with it. When we're going to make that soup, we're planning on using we're going to try oyster. We might use a shrimp stock. We might find something in the middle there.
I want to try making my own stock out of some, out of the
carcass.
The carcass, yep.
Yeah, after we fillet them, you know, you can take the guts out of them.
Exactly. Boil
that up.
Make some fish stock.
Strain it up, reduce it down, make some fish stock.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of heads of garlic and some onion.
Essentially, you do the same with the clam juice and stuff.
Clam juice.
Oyster juice.
Oyster juice. Shrimp stock. There's a lot of good fish stocks out there. They're going to give a little bit of that fishy flavor in as you're making your soup and such. I know Babe Winkleman's got a good recipe out there. We're going to look at a bunch of those, but we're going to come up with an MI Ice Guy one with Michigan potatoes.
Yes.
Michigan onions. And, you know, since we are from the Great Lakes State, podcast and hard water ice fishing, we love to walk on water whenever we can. We want you all to remember to be safe out there. Eat well. Share with your friends. Teach some kids. And hopefully we'll see you out on the ice on one of our upcoming days or at a tournament soon around. Spread the word, folks. Ice fishing is here to stay.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.